Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY24 earnings conference call of Sudarshan Chemical Industries Limited, hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Jain.
Thanks, Michelle. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining on Sudarshan Chemical Industries Limited Q2 and H1 FY24 results conference call. We have Sudarshan Chemical management on the call, represented by Mr. Rajesh Rathi, Managing Director, and Mr. Neelkanth Nathu, Chief Financial Officer. I would like to invite Mr. Neelkanth Nathu to initiate with the opening remarks, post which we will have a Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, ICICI Securities and Mr. Sanjesh, for hosting our earnings call. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Sudarshan's Q2 FY24 earnings conference call. Our investor presentation has been uploaded on the stock exchanges for your ready reference. I would like to take you through the financial highlights for this quarter. On overall basis, there has been a growth in the top line as well as improvement in the EBITDA margin. However, global uncertainties and macroeconomic factors, coupled with recent geopolitical development, continues to be the key challenge. The quarterly performance: on a consolidated basis for the quarter, total income from operations stood at rupees 601 crore as compared to rupees 528 crore for the same period last year, higher by 14% year-on-year. EBITDA for the quarter stood at rupees 66 crore as compared to rupees 43 crore in Q2 FY23, and EBITDA margin is at 10.9% compared to 8.1% over the same period last year. Profit after tax stood at rupees 18 crore compared to rupees 5 crore for the same period last year. Coming to H1 performance, on half-yearly basis, total income from operations stood at rupees 1209 crore versus 1083 crore in the same period last year, a growth of 12%. EBITDA for the first half is at rupees 135 crore versus rupees 84 crore last year, and EBITDA margin is at 11.2% for the current half-year versus 7.8% over the same period last year. PAT is at rupees 39 crore compared to rupees 12 crore for the same period in the last year. Now, going into the details of our pigment business. For the Q2 FY24, income from operations stood at rupees 522 crore as compared to rupees 476 crore for the same period last year, a growth of 10% year-on-year. On a sequential basis, revenue is marginally lower by 3% compared to 536 crore of Q1 FY24. India sales for the quarter is at rupees 272 crore, higher by 16% as compared to rupees 235 crore in the same period last year. On a sequential basis, India sales is marginally higher by 3% compared to rupees 265 crore of Q1 FY24. Export for the quarter were at rupees 250 crore compared to rupees 242 crore, higher by around 3% year-on-year. On a sequential basis, export revenue is lower by 8% compared to rupees 272 crore of Q1 FY24, mainly due to weak demand resulting from inflationary pressure in EU, US, and effects of destocking. We continue to be vigilant towards the international geographies, considering the recent geopolitical issues and global macroeconomic situation. In plastic segment, we continue to see relatively stable demand, and ink segment has seen improvement in demand in Q2 FY24. We expect this to continue in the coming quarters. We continue to see subdued demand scenario from coating segment, majorly due to domestic players differing buying decisions owing to falling price regime and also due to the late festival season. Demand in the coating segment is expected to pick up in H2 FY24. Specialty pigment sales stood at rupees 362 crore as compared to rupees 330 crore for the previous year same quarter, 10% year on year higher. On a sequential basis, revenue has remained flat as compared to rupees 363 crore of Q1 FY24. Non-specialty sale for the quarter is at rupees 160 crore, which was higher by 10% as compared to the same period last year. On a sequential basis, revenue is lower by 8% compared to 174 crore of Q1 FY24. We are seeing healthy and progressive engagement with our customers for our product baskets offering from the recently commissioned capex. Gross margin of pigment business for the quarter increased to 44.8% as against 38.8% for the same period previous year. Comparing with the sequential quarter, gross margin have gone up by 190 basis points. This is mainly due to lower price, raw material prices and change in the product mix. During the quarter, we continue to see softer raw material costs and coal prices as compared to the previous year. Logistic costs have remained stable in Q2 FY24, while it has come off from the peak level seen earlier from the previous year. Further, evolving geopolitical environment can pose some uncertainty which may have impact on crude prices and other intermediary prices. EBITDA for the quarter stood at rupees 67 crore in Q2 FY24 compared to rupees 39 crore for the previous quarter. EBITDA margin stood at 12.8% as compared to 8.2% over the same period last year. On a sequential basis, EBITDA is higher by 90 basis points. In H1 FY24, total income from operations for pigment business stood at rupees 1058 crore versus rupees 1002 crore in the same period last year, a growth of 5%. EBITDA for H1 is at 131 crore versus 83 crore last year, and EBITDA margin is at 12.3% versus 8.3% over the same period last year. Now coming to the balance sheet. The balance sheet of the company has strengthened with stable business operation in current first half of the year and funds received from monetization of the assets. The net debt of the company has reduced substantially to rupees 445 crore in Q2 FY24 from rupees 926 crore in Q2 FY23 and 503 crore in Q1 FY24. The reduction in debt has resulted in improved net debt to EBITDA to 1.7 times in Q2 compared to 3.8 times in Q2 of the last year. The working capital cycle has been effectively managed, thereby resulting into the cash conversion days at 82 days in current quarter compared to 90 days in the sequential quarter Q1 and 108 days in Q2 of the last year. On ESG focus, before we conclude our management commentary, I would like to take this opportunity to highlight our ESG focus. Sudarshan always maintained high standards in this area as seen from the direct discharge permission for treated effluents from Roha plant, British Safety Council 5-star rating Sword of Honor Award and Sudar CSR work in the plant location communities. Our focus is further enhanced with clearly formulated vision to be the global leader in pigment industry by operating responsibly and growing sustainably. To achieve this, we have formulated the strategy towards key pillars of the environment responsibility, strengthening social inclusiveness, business accountability, with continuous focus on manufacturing excellence. We believe that companies will get differentiated based on the ESG practices in coming years, and our continued focus and sustainability journey with concentrated efforts will strongly position us globally. To summarize, positive tailwinds from the external factors such as consolidation of top players in the industry, China Plus One, India gaining economic momentum, due to continuing global uncertainties are expected to favor Indian pigment industry. However, we continue to be cautious considering evolving geopolitical situation and global macroeconomic situation. We are well prepared internally with all the CapEx projects being commissioned, with wider range of the products, portfolio, cost-efficient operation and capacities to quickly ramp up. We are confident in our growth journey and are committed to deliver the long-term value to our stakeholders. With this, I now open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take the first question from the line of Madhav from Fidelity. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Good morning. Thank you so much for your time once again. Just wanted to get an update on, now that our product range is finally ready, we have our expanded capacity in place. Could you just help us understand how the traction is building up? Not from a near-term perspective, I understand there are geopolitical challenges that could happen near-term. But if you take a 2-3-year view on the company, could you give us some sense? Are we like in a better shape to sort of gain more business in export markets from a, like a 3-year perspective?
Thanks, Madhav. Nilkant here. So as we mentioned in our opening commentary, we have recently commissioned our CapEx and the product offering in terms of our new products has been well received from the customer. As we mentioned, considering the current scenario, we are seeing this ramp up to happen over a period of 4 years. And with this, whatever the internal target we have set for ourselves in the first year, in the first half, we are achieving those. So we are on track in terms of achieving the target for this ramp up, and you will see those results coming in over a period.
And this 4 year is, in your view, you're being a little bit conservative, or this is more realistic? Like, what kind of assumptions are we making?
Madhav, the 4 year view which we are right now giving is more based on the conservative basis given the current, geopolitical scenario and the macroeconomic conditions. While our endeavor remains for the quick ramp up, 4 year is more on the conservative side.
Sure. And the second question which I had was, now that our product mix is expanded and, we have more specialty portfolio in place versus what Sudarshan was 5 years back. If you look at our margin profile before COVID, where we used to do 14-15% EBITDA margin, would it be fair to say if we take a 3-4 year view, EBITDA margin should be higher? We don't want an exact number, but just given the change in the product portfolio, margin should be higher versus what it was over a 5 year period before COVID?
So, Madhav, to answer this, yes, strategically, directionally, it should be higher than what we had seen earlier as a 15%. If I see the, our history, we had the EBITDA margin of 15% in 21. With given the new capexes which are put to use, more the focus on the specialty, over a period of, the time horizon which you have mentioned, 3 to 5 years period, I see that structurally the gross margin and the EBITDA should move up, and we should see the EBITDA margin higher than the numbers which we had reported earlier. But it is over a period of time.
Directionally,
what you are interpreting is correct.
Understood. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Ankur Periwal from Access Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. First question on, the pricing or the overall growth on the revenues front. So congratulations for a decent performance across domestic, specialty, as well as the exports bit. Just trying to understand, how should we look at this growth from a pricing and volume breakup perspective? Is pricing a component here, or it's largely volume driven?
Hi, Ankur.
Yeah, hi, Nagaji.
Yeah. Hi, Ankur, Nilkanth here. So, as we mentioned, we are seeing the softening in the raw material prices, logistic cost, and coal cost. So the current, the revenue scale-up which we are seeing is more from the volume trend, because there has been the softening of the price regime which we have seen in the first half. So it is more driven from the volume side.
Sure. And Natoji, just a clarification, the RM deflation, has this been passed through in Q2, or will be passing it on, let's say, next quarter onwards?
So we have passed on this, Ankur. So this, the softening of the raw material prices, other costs, we do the pass on quarter.
Okay, great. Second question on the global, competitive and, our positioning as well as from a landscape perspective. We have been, seeing excess capacities in China, which has kept prices under pressure for most of the chemical chemicals. How is competition for us, given that there were certain, plant shutdowns earlier, and China in dyes, they are big, but in pigments, probably, you can highlight how the demand supply situation sort of, pans out there.
Ankurji, this is Adesh Rathi. I think the situation, two sides, sir. One is the industry in general is probably passing through a worse phase, right? If you see our European competitors or the large players, they are not doing well either. also, given the demand scenario, especially in the major geographies, if you talk about US, Europe, China, Japan, is not very good right now. So the situation is tough, but I think we are able to make good attraction given our whole storyline and our whole strategy on growth over a very reliable and a broad-based product manufacturer, right? So from that perspective.
Sure, Adhiji. But any new capacity coming in globally, or maybe excess of supply given the demand is lower and hence...
No, I think we are seeing a shutdown in capacities. Certain capacities in Europe have shut down. No major addition of capacities in China, I would say.
Great. And from a new product approval or let's say, ramp-up perspective, I know the macro has been weak, so probably won't be right to look at the ramp-up as such. But from a product approval, perspective, where are we for our new product that have been commissioned?
I think we're doing quite well, sir. Whatever our 4-year plan was, we are right on track, right? The next 1.5-2 years would be to see how can we expedite that and do that. But as of now, we are on track, sir.
Great, sir. Just one last question, if I may, for Natuji. Our working capital has improved in this quarter, largely led by, lower inventory. Is it, sustainable? What are our thoughts there?
So, Ankur, as we guided earlier, we were at around 25% last year, and we said that our endeavor is to be in the range of 20 to 22%, given, the situation around. So right now also we are at around 21% of the working capital, and I expect that we will be in the same range of 20 to 22%. I don't expect major jump in the working capital. It has been fairly managed, and we will continue our focus in managing our working capital efficiently.
Sure. Great, sir. That's helpful. Thank you and all the best for you.
Thanks. Thank you, Ankur.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Archit Joshi from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. I have a few questions, sir. Firstly, just wanted to pick your brains on a comment that you have made in the presentation with respect to value chain integration in some of the projects. Can you elaborate what sort of value chains are we looking at here? Is this in the current scheme of things with respect to the product portfolio we have, or there is an exploration of any other HPP azo sort of a pigment in the value chain?
Nilkant here. So which you are referring to, the transcript or the presentation?
No, sir. To the slide, business outlook FY24 and beyond, wherein we have mentioned commencing execution of cost improvement and value chain integration projects.
So I think that means what it means is some of our backward integration projects will continue to focus some of the waste streams which are generated, getting some value out of it. I think those are the two areas which we are focusing on.
Okay, so there's nothing new on the product side, right? Or any other?
No. I think we've completed all the products.
Nothing new on the product side.
Okay. Got it, sir. So secondly, with respect to the application areas, if I split this into three larger categories of the industries that we service, paints, coatings, wherein you have mentioned auto and deco, and packaging and inks, plastics, packaging and inks. So where exactly are we seeing pain globally? I see that you have seen some traction sequentially in the domestic front, but where do we see this destocking or demand pangs being prevalent on the exports market?
The question is only pertaining to export market or all, including only export, right? So export, I think it's more of a geography phenomena, right, rather than the applications where I think, you know, US, we are seeing US was doing well till last year, and this year we are seeing a major effect and a lot of restocking happening in US. Europe is at the same trend as last year, a little bit improvement, but China has also been worse. So it's more of a geography phenomena rather than the industry areas globally, in the exports market, international market.
Got it, sir. So if I just put it in the ascending order, so US followed by Europe and then China, would that be a fair assumption where we are seeing more pain?
So in general, as a market, I think China, US, Europe, I would put that in the sequence. But for us, our larger stakes are in US and Europe.
Got it, sir. Sir, one last. Sir, this quarter, our subsidiary, if I just do a consolidated minus standalone, subsidiary performance seems to have improved quite a bit. Can you throw some light on what's driving this and what should be a fair run rate to look at going ahead with respect to the subsidiary performance? Thank you.
So, Arshit, you are mentioning about the RICO, correct?
Yeah.
So, in terms of the RICO, has been, they are receiving the good order. Being in the capital good industry, they are seeing the up cycle and current order book and the revenue. If you have seen in the current year, it has been at 151 crore compared to the last year of 80 crore. And they are positive in terms of the EBITDA and EBT. So, they have turned around over the last 2 years period in terms of their performance. And we expect that this trend to continue for the current year. And we should see the decent improvement over 223 crore of the last year in terms of the revenue.
Sure, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one. We'll take the next question from the line of Yogesh Bhatia from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations for this. I wanted to ask, can you tell us from the new facility, what is the revenue that we have booked in this quarter and what are the expenses that we are currently incurring for this facility?
Hi, Yogesh. This is Nilkant here. So, currently we are not publishing that number. As we mentioned that we are on target as far as our internal targets which are set for the first year, and the revenue ramp-up, the sizable ramp-up we should see in the coming years.
this is from our side.
Basically, if we get some sense on the expenses side also, we'll be able to understand that if the margins are subdued because of the excess cost of the facility or, you know, something of that sort, it will give us some idea that how far are the margins expanding for the company.
Yogesh Nilkanth here. So,
yes,
as you have rightly mentioned in your question, so currently the capacities which are, you know, there for the new product are utilized at the lower end of the cycle. So, as we improve our utilization, we will see, benefits of the higher utilization getting into the gross margin and contribution margin over a period. So, currently we are monitoring all the parameters, and whatever we have taken for this particular year, considering the utilization levels, we are achieving those numbers. So I request you to be at least maybe a couple of quarters, you will see the performance getting into there, and then we will start looking at it separately.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitesh Dhoot from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi team. Good afternoon and thank you for this opportunity. So my first question is on the European distribution tie-up. Have we really started benefiting, from there, and how do we see this tie-up for the next, 2-3 years going forward?
So I think we are engaging well with the European distribution tie-up. Like we said, these were for mid-size and smaller this. We're going through a product approval cycle, etc. And I think in time to come, it should expand. So right now, the groundwork is going on with them.
Sure. My next question is on the sale of, Rico Industries. I think we had planned earlier, for disposing, this arm. So where are we, as far as that, proposal was concerned?
So the board is constantly reviewing, the, area at what stage, we should be doing that. And, as soon as, they come to some conclusion, etc., we will definitely come back to everyone.
Right. And so just lastly, on capacity utilization, you mentioned that, your new facilities obviously are at lower utilizations. Just wanted to ask, on the pigment EBITDA margins, right now we are at 12.8%. So on an optimum utilization, where can we see this, margins going forward? I understand that, from a product portfolio perspective, these will add to the margins. But purely from the utilizations of our, the previous facilities, ex of the new products that you've added, where can we head to?
So, Nitesh, Nilkanth here, as I mentioned earlier, what we are seeing this year is, getting back our margin trajectory, which we have seen in the last year, sub 9% to now 12%, 12.5%. And this is a positive incremental change which we had seen. Couple of factors which has helped us is, one is the softening of the prices, RM prices. Good governance in terms of the pricing, in terms of the pass-through, as well as the pricing in terms of the product which are being offered. And third is also the volume gain, which we had seen in the current year. All these factors are benefiting us in terms of getting back to our margin trajectory back by 12.5%, maybe 3-4% up from the last year. Now, structurally, if you ask me, I see this particular year wherein we should see the margin momentum to continue. And once we go back to the higher level of the utilization with the new products being, also getting scaled up in the years to come,
As I mentioned to Madhav earlier, we should directionally see our EBITDA margin going up from whatever the highest level which we had seen earlier at 15%+. But this will be over a period, and this we will continue to monitor as a management. But directionally, it has to go and scale back to the level which we had seen earlier over a period of time. And right now, you are seeing that particular momentum in the first two quarters also, which is positive for us.
Yes, sir, certainly. That's very helpful. So just one last thing. I mean, on the domestic side, which NU segments have driven the growth for us in Q2?
So on the domestic front, the plastic segment has continued doing well. So that segment has given us a good growth.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much for answering my questions. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nitin.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is, in your comment, you mentioned that European some of the capacities have shut down. So what is your assessment in terms of whether these are permanent shutdowns or mothballed, or whether it is because of the current crisis in terms of the energy and high cost, these capacities have been shut down? Thank you.
It's a permanent shutdown.
And just clarification, are these sizable capacities in the overall scheme of global capacities?
I would say, they're reasonable. I mean, they're reasonable from a perspective of, if you look at the total European capacities for that product line.
Fair enough. Sir, second question is, one of the articles suggested that Rico Industries is planning to increase its workforce to about 500 plus by 2025. And we are focusing more on the powder processing and bulk material handling solutions. So just wanted your view on this particular subsidiary of ours. At one point in time, we were trying to divest it, and then it turned around in the last couple of years. So what is the focus on this part of the business? And on a normalized basis, what could be the margin trajectory for Rico? And I understand that quarterly fluctuations may be there depending on projects, but on a yearly basis, so what could be the margin trajectory? Thank you.
So as mentioned earlier, sir, Rico is not absolutely core business for Sudarshan, and the board is constantly reviewing, reviewing the performance and what should be the future plan. I think as soon as there is more clarity and what we are doing, we will definitely come back to you.
Sure. Thank you, and best of luck, sir.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for taking my question. First is on the product portfolio that we are expanding and the European shutdown. Can you give us some update on the new product launches which have happened? Are we getting the approvals? Have we started supplying them? Where are we in terms of milestone on those new products, which is Ello and Purple?
Thank you, Sanjayji. So as I mentioned earlier in my opening remark also, and to a couple of questions also, we are seeing a very healthy and progressive engagement with our customer for our new product, offering from our recently commissioned CAPEX. We are seeing the approval for our product being given by the customer, and the engagement with the customer is ongoing. As I mentioned, in terms of our internal target for this current year, as far as the revenue from the new product is concerned, we are absolutely on target, and we will continue our drive to get the new business from this product.
And what will be the contribution of new products today in our overall revenue basket?
So sir, currently, as we mentioned, it is at the lower end of the capacity utilization. So it is not that significantly material to report the number. So once we scale up to a number in a year's time, we will start publishing that. We will look at it, how to publish that number.
Very much. Second question is on the European shutdown and those particular products being a supply shock. How many of those products are in our portfolio? Will we benefit out of it?
I think the European shutdown will benefit more on the printing ink areas and some plastic areas, but mainly printing ink areas.
Printing and, sorry?
Plastics.
Plastics.
Okay. We could just understand U.S. market. So
U.S. auto coating segment, we were trying to expand our footprint.
Automotive segment is not just U.S., but it was a global phenomena, which we made good progress on that, and we continue to work on it. So
got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We can take, go to the next participant.
Sure.
Then get back to us.
We'll take the next question from the line of Rohan from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, first question is, you can just share for the current quarter in revenue, the contribution from volume growth and the price decline, if you can give some sense on that.
So, hi sir, Nilkant here. So, since there has been a very broad product range and the values are, the range of the value is very high, so we are not declaring it in terms of the volume as such. But as I mentioned to Ankur earlier, we are seeing the softening in the raw material prices and other costs. So, the kind of sales revenue which we are seeing now in our quarterly numbers as well as in the previous quarter, majority of this is coming from our, the volume side. And this also gets translated in our EBITDA percentage compared to the last year. So, majority of this thing is also getting driven from the volume side.
Okay. But in general, with the falling raw material prices, this overall basket would have seen some decline in average realization. What I'm just trying to get that our volume growth would have been much higher than 12% in a revenue growth. So that's what I just wanted to understand.
Okay. Yeah. So, as you have rightly mentioned, raw material prices has declined. So majority of the the revenue is from the volume side. And this is also giving us the benefit in terms of our gross margin percentage, in terms of our realization. While our realization percentage has gone down due to the softening of the prices, but in terms of the percentage EBITDA, we are seeing the positive sign.
Okay. So second question is on our non-pigment, though it's very small in terms of revenue contribution, but seems like that we have incurred some losses here in our non pigment basket. Any particular reason, any inventory losses, something like that?
Yeah. So, sir, in the quarter two, your observation is correct. In the quarter two, they had an overrun in the project business, and they had executed a couple of big project orders. And in the quarter two, we had seen, due to the size of the project, it got slightly delayed, and that time delay has caused some overrun in the cost, which has been reflected in the quarter two performance.
So it should normalize going forward, right? I mean, even this business, I mean, non-pigment business is also profitable. It's not like that it will be.
If you really see the H1 performance, they are profitable. The Q2, they have seen the dip due to the project delay, time delay, execution and the related cost. H1, they are positive, and we expect that for the current year, they will remain profitable.
Sir, just share the what will be the our going forward share of specialty in pigment? I mean, mix, how it is likely to change, and what kind of average margin difference we have between specialty versus commoditized grade of the pigments?
So, sir, if you have seen our specialty and non-specialty split, it has been fairly 2/3, 1/3, correct? 67% specialty and 33% on the non-specialty side. While majority of our growth capex is on the specialty side, once the scale-up starts in terms of the new capex, we see that the tilt toward the specialty revenue will go up, maybe by a couple of basis points, maybe upwards 70%, and which will further drive our gross margin, as a percentage, because the specialty always has some shade better in terms of the gross margin. I think the next question was the difference between the specialty and non-specialty gross margin. So as we mentioned earlier, the difference between these two is in the range of 4-5%.
Okay. That's just last from my side and I'll come back in queue. Sir, we have seen a very solid volume growth for you in the current quarter, though the world markets are struggling, export markets are definitely under pressure with the end user industries, even including autos, paints and all, and everything showing the weakness. A lot of inventory destocking, that's what we are hearing in China dumping. Irrespective of that, we have grown very significantly in volume. What was the main driver for this volume growth? And have we taken some share from the Europe and replaced some of the European suppliers? And how is the pressure especially coming from China? Because we have been hearing a lot of pressure in commodity grade is coming from China. So what was the main driver for the growth for us in the current quarter?
Our entire strategy is to get market share in these newer geographies, right, which we are entering. And we've been now successful with a broader portfolio and our connection with the customers, looking at saying that, a story on being broad portfolio and being a reliable supplier. So we are able to penetrate more in the market with this. So obviously the growth isn't there, and obviously that, and hence we are taking market share.
So it's basically new geographies which we have entered with a new product that has helped us in volume growth. However, there is a pressure in terms of overall volume in the market.
Can you please repeat?
Sir, I'm saying that so the volume growth driver for us was basically more product launches with the new geographies. However, in general, there was still a weakness in the market in terms of end user industries or volume growth. In general, industry would have lost volume in the first half or current quarter.
Yeah, so industry lost volume, but it's not just the new products, but even our existing products, we have been able to piggyback our existing products with our new products, and having a better engagement with the customers, given the broad portfolio now, right? So it's not just the getting the new product sales, but also getting a larger pie on the existing products.
Okay. And this was mainly in exports market. You also added new territories. That's what has helped.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. However, sir, the presentation represents that Q1 versus Q2, the exports market has declined. So it's clearly indicating that the exports have not done well in Q2 versus Q1. A lot of growth is only driven from the domestic. So,
we're looking at a longer trend. Like if you compare last Q2 to Q2, from that perspective, it's a much better growth. And I think if you look at Q2 to just one second.
Yeah. So, sir, if you also look at the H1 number, so quarter being a very point, period comparison, if you really see the H1 performance compared to the last year, we are seeing 5% increase in our export revenue from 499 crore to 522 crore. And given, as we explained, given the backdrop of, falling prices, this 5% is the value. But there has been a good amount of the volume growth which we had seen in the export market. That is what Mr. Rathi had meant.
Okay. Sir, thank you so much for answering all the questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Aryan Paresh Makwana from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah, so my question is on the top line front. So we have said that we expect some 3,000 to 3,300 crores top line in the next 3 to 4 years. So shall we stay on the same guidance or are there some revisions expected?
Sir, can you repeat your question, please?
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, so my question was on top line front. So we have said that earlier that we expect a 3,000 to 3,300 crores of top line in next 3 to 4 years. So can we expect the same guidance or are there any revisions? Thank you.
Yeah, so earlier we said that we should do that into around 3 years period, as we have guided now the market that conservative estimate for us to scale up the revenue from the new capex is 4 years. So we expect that this guidance is valid now for 4 years, over a 4 year period time.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Madhav from Fidelity. Please go ahead. Mr. Madhav, I have unmuted your line. Kindly
yeah.
proceed.
Can you be now?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to check that in the Q1 call, you know, we mentioned about the Canadian pigment supplier looking to scale down capacity. I think this call we're mentioning about a European player, a few European players looking to scale down capacity. So it seems like demand supply outlook, if you see in the last 3-4 years, seems to have improved quite a bit, which is kind of showing up in our volume, market share also picking up. Is that a fair assessment that we're making of the pigment industry globally from Sudarshan perspective?
No, so Europe, I would say one supplier has decided has reduced capacity. I think also, you know, last year and now even, the industry is going through troubled times. So it's a matter of how, you know, when talking about one of the suppliers who was in financial, I think probably the strong players are able to kind of walk through this industry. It's not been favorable with the Indian industry getting anti-dumping duty in China, right? So from this perspective, since we have a broader product range and we have a good storyline where we are able to capitalize on some of the tailwinds of the industry, right? That's where I think our growth story is and will continue.
And how much longer before the destocking in the pigment value chain comes to an end? Is it another quarter, 2 quarters before the destocking?
Good question, because I don't understand this destocking, and I keep asking customers, how much stock did you have that you're still destocking, right? So, but on a more serious note, people expect to destock in Q3 in the international market, especially being the year end. And Q1 onwards, we expect, Q4 onwards, we expect stock building, you know, again, buying to start in a normal way.
Understood. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Archit Joshi from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the follow-up. Sir, I just wanted to check with you with respect to the business that we are into on the supply chain side. So you mentioned that we have a European distribution setup. Sir, compared to maybe a few quarters back or maybe a few years back, has there been a change with respect to the way we do business? Most of our sales been largely B2B driven with the customer directly, or has there been a distribution angle always?
We've always had a dual distribution policy where we do the major customers directly as a company salesperson, and that's where we maintain our stocks too. And for the smaller customers, we use distribution. The only difference now is we had different distributors in different geographies in Europe. Now we have a pan-European distributor.
Okay. Okay. So would that mean, sir, for the larger customers also that we have in Europe, the model will be led by distributors?
Can you please repeat the question, sir, Archit?
Yeah, sir, I was asking, Rati sir said, there's a pan distributor for the European geography. Would that mean most of our sales in Europe, even with the larger customers, are through the distribution model?
I'll repeat again. We have a dual distribution system. We do direct customers. The direct customers are handled by our sales team directly, and we supply directly to them from our stocks in Europe. We earlier had, for our smaller customers, earlier we had distributors country-wise, for which we have now replaced them with a pan-European distributor.
Got it, sir. Sir, and meanwhile, speaking of the same issue, we were sort of targeting some market share gains because of the level of consolidation that we saw in the last few years among the multinational companies. Would that have a positive bearing to the current dual distribution model that we are having, or would the next leg of market share gains that we might gain in the future, would that be through our existing relationship with some of the large customers, or the model seems to be tilting more towards smaller customers where distribution is kind of able to generate more sales for us?
I think the consumption on the larger customers have much better consumption, right? So I think we'll continue growing with the existing customers. Our larger customers, and we should be doing more with the larger customers. On the smaller customers, we are not doing so well. With this new distribution arrangement, we are hoping that we are able to penetrate the market better.
Understood, sir. Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you. Thanks for the clarification.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Nitesh Dhoot from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the follow-up. So just on the pigment revenue mix, in terms of applications, that is coatings, plastics, and inks. So where are we currently, and where do you see this mix, say 3 years down the line when other products have ramped up?
So we have four areas of our business: coatings, plastics, printing inks, and cosmetics, right? And we are focusing on growth in coatings, plastics, and cosmetics, right? So we look at as we go on our trend. We to answer your question, in the next 3 years. This should grow, and there should be a larger growth in the coatings area. We already have a very good presence in plastics.
Sure. So just in terms of numbers, I mean, if you can give, say, in FY23, what percentage of our revenues came from coatings, plastics, inks, and cosmetics separately?
So Rati mentioned, coating and plastic continues to be a significant application for us. Cosmetic is a niche application, but it has as a percentage of the sale, it is not that material to report. But we continue our drive to get the cosmetic business. Margins are better. There the margins are better.
All right. Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Nikesh.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Sanjesh, and thank you, participants, for your time and interest in Sudarshan Chemicals. We remain confident in the long-term prospect of our business, and we look forward to engaging with you again in future. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.